Today's scripture comes from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 13 through 17. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, "Where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster."
Good morning. This is one of my favorite Sundays of the year because this is the Sunday in between Christmas and New Year's. So this is the Sunday where we're past all of the Christmas activities and everything that goes along with that, and yet we haven't yet started the new year, and so we have this one Sunday to kind of take a breath, catch ourselves a little bit, and prepare ourselves before we enter into a new year. And so what I've used this Sunday over the years is a day of reflection, a day where we kind of look back over the year and we think about all that we've talked about and all that we've done, and we celebrate the stories of what God has done among us during this year. But I have to admit, I'm in a little bit of a quandary on exactly what to say this morning and talking about 2020, because it has been a year like no other. Amen. It's been a year where we've had to deal with a whole lot. We've had to deal with a public health crisis like we've never seen before in our lives. We've dealt with racial tensions like we haven't even maybe hadn't seen since the 1960s. There's been a political season that's been very bitter and very divisive, very caustic. We've dealt with panic buying and debates over masks, tragedy of George Floyd, mail-in voting, and all the controversy with that, school shutdowns and Zoom rooms, and hearing the word unprecedented over and over again. We've dealt with full ICUs and sickness, and yes, even the death of some of our loved ones. And it's pretty easy, when we think back about 2020, it's pretty easy to think, well, I'm ready to get this year in the rearview mirror and let's move on to 2021. I remember at last year, as the ministers were getting together to plan about 2020 and our theme and the things that we were going to be studying and talking about, that John Scott had made this remark to all of us and saying, well, you guys know that 2020 is going to be the worst year ever. And we're like, what are you talking about? And he was referring to the construction that was going to be going on in our building, which has been pretty inconvenient, I might say. But little did we know that John Scott would be a prophet among us and would warn us. And it's easy to look at that and to get pretty negative and to get pretty pessimistic in talking about 2020 and say, let's just move on to the next year. But what I want to do today is I want to just pause for a second, and let's just dwell in 2020 for just a little bit longer, and let's do a little bit of reflection, because it very well may be that 2020 is the most important year of your life. I started off the year by talking about Jeremiah. In fact, the very first sermon that I gave of this year, which seems like ages ago, I actually brought out a clay jar out in front of the podium, a clay jar that was given to me by Chris Powell. And I brought it to this point in the podium, and I broke it, and it shattered into all sorts of pieces. Angelica White was not happy with me that day. And I stood in those broken pieces, and I talked about Jeremiah chapter 19. That in Jeremiah 19, God comes to the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, I want you to take a clay jar, and I want you to go to the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom was considered to be the trash heap of Jerusalem at that time. And he's supposed to take the elders, and he's supposed to take the priests of the Jewish people, and to stand there and break the clay jar in that valley and to stand in those broken pieces and to proclaim the word of the Lord to the elders and the priest at that point. And the message that Jeremiah was supposed to deliver was the message that God is bringing judgment upon his people, that God is going to destroy his people just like this clay jar has been broken into all sorts of pieces. And I talked about that for Jeremiah. That was a really hard word for him to deliver. He was not excited about telling his people that God was going to bring judgment. And there are these snippets throughout the book of Jeremiah that scholars call Jeremiah's confessions. And that's where Jeremiah laments to God. God, why have you called me to be this prophet? Why have you called me to deliver these hard messages? I don't want to deliver these messages. I don't want to tell my people that they're going to be broken like a clay jar. And in the midst of one of those passages of confessions, Jeremiah offers this positive and optimistic message where he says, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." And that line from Jeremiah 17, we have said dozens and dozens of times on Sunday morning as we began our worship. And I've been thankful for that line this year, because there have been some Sundays when I've walked in here, maybe a little bit beaten down, a little bit exhausted, a little bit tired, and we've started by saying, "Heal me, Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, and I'll be saved. You are the one I praise." And what I love about that line from Jeremiah is that Jeremiah is looking to God. And he's saying, even though I'm in the midst of broken pieces, standing in a valley, I'm looking to you, God, because you are the one who can heal. And you are the one that can save. And you're the one that I'm going to praise. That Jeremiah was declaring, he was affirming in that line, that God is our healer. And that's the way I started this year. Is that whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life, one truth that we can build our life on is that God is our healer. I talked about that healing in the Bible. It's not simply just the instantaneous miracle that we often see in the ministry of Jesus, but instead, really, healing is about restoring what is lost or restoring what is broken. And that Jeremiah was declaring, "You, God, you're the one who can restore our broken pieces. You're the one who can bring us up out of the valley. You are our healer." And that truth we talked about was going to come inside of us as God's people. And it was going to encourage us, and then it was going to empower us to go out into our city and to be a healing presence, to join God as the great healer and to seek to bring healing to a world that is broken. I preached in January from Luke chapter 9, where Jesus gathers the apostles and then he sends them out. And I talked about in that sermon that's the way the church works. We are gathered together and then we're sent out to be agents of healing. And I had us all raise our hands. Y'all remember that? Had us raise our hands. And I said, just the way that Jesus used his hands to bring healing in John chapter 9 by healing the blind man, so you are to use your hands. And as you go throughout this week, whether you're writing something or you're texting something or if you're touching someone or whether you're making something or whatever it is you're doing with your hands, you're to use your hands to bring healing to our world. And that was going to be our goal this year in 2020. To be a healing presence, to believe that God is our healer, and we're going to join him in that. Well, to help us in that, I began preaching from the Gospel of Luke. We wanted to spend time from the Gospel of Luke because in that book, there's more stories about the healings of Jesus than any other gospel in the New Testament. And so we wanted to spend some time with the Master Healing if we were going to be a healing presence. And it was in the middle of that series, of the Gospel of Luke, that everything changed. And I specifically remember the weekend that the pandemic hit. It was around March 14th, 15th, and 16th, because I wasn't here that Sunday. Matthew was preaching in my place. Instead, me and Lindsay and the kids, we had all gone to Searcy, Arkansas because we were going to celebrate my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And while we went there, that's when the pandemic hit. Thankfully, we still got to celebrate their wedding anniversary. It was the last reception in the church building in Searcy before they shut everything down. But back here, the decision was made to not gather in person for worship. And using Chris Jeter's computer, we broadcasted Matthew's sermon. I got a text from someone that afternoon from our church, and he said, I know that was a tough decision to not meet and gather, but I want you to know that through online, I felt connected to my church family. That encouraged me. And that started us on this journey of just moving everything online. And so the worship moved to online. We started having small group meetings on Zoom. We started to have Bible classes online. We started having Facebook Live devotionals. Started having Southside Shares updates. Things got a little bit better thanks to the help of Justin Grimsley and Kim Autry. We were able to move from not just projecting from Chris Jeter's computer, but projecting from a camera. And we started this rhythm of having online worship every Sunday. And I've been amazed as we've been dealing with all of these issues, how the different sermon series is that had been planned months ahead of time actually were kind of really helpful, kind of helped talk about some of the things that we really needed to talk about. And so after we finished the series on Luke, that's when I started preaching on Psalms, and that helped us kind of sort through all of our emotions and allow the psalmist to help us understand and define healing words. After that series, I preached from about Elijah and Elisha, about two prophets who came to northern Israel at a time when it was spiritually barren, and people were wondering, where is God? And I remember during the summer, some of us, including myself, were wondering, where is God? And Elijah and Elisha reminded us that God is still here. He's still at work. He's still doing wonderful things. After this series, we talked about our mission as a church, that despite being in a pandemic, our mission hasn't gone away, that we're still called to be a church that heals a world that is broken. And we ended that series with a day of healing that so many of you participated in various ways, to try to bring healing in a small way to a world that is full of broken pieces. Then after that series, as the political season ramped up, we talked about Philemon. And as our relationships were being pulled apart in many different ways, we talked about how we can mend what is torn. And then finally, we talked about listening. Because whenever you're in the wilderness, as we're all in right now, the important thing is that we're listening to God and we're listening to one another. And we talked about trying to be still. And so through the whole difficult time, God was with us and He was guiding us. And He was helping us. But there was a couple of times throughout the year that I felt like were really, really difficult. When spiritual growth and community became much harder. For me, it was when I realized that this pandemic was not simply going to be a blizzard, but it was going to be a winter. It wasn't simply going to be a storm, it was going to be a season. That for the first 5 or 6 weeks, you know, maybe back in April, when we all were shut down and forced to be at home and we were watching online and connecting through Zoom, it was kind of a novelty thing, right? This is different. Many of us were celebrating it, in fact. I'm thankful to be with my family more. I'm thankful to slow down. I'm thankful that we're able to connect with one another in these means. But then after a while, we started to get tired of it, right? For me, it was about in June where I started to get tired. And I wanted to be around people again, and I wanted us to assemble together. And I realized that it wasn't going to happen for a long time. That things had changed, and that was difficult. I found myself saying, well, when we all get back together, when we all get back to normal, when everything's back the way it used to be, and then I realized I need to stop saying that because I'm going to have to learn how to coexist with COVID. And that was hard. It's still hard, right? And then the second point when I thought things also got to be difficult is when we decided we were going to start having in-person services again. That was difficult because, number one, we had to figure out how we're going to do it, how we're going to do it in a way that's safe and that mitigates risk and all of those sorts of things, and that was not easy. But number two, when we got back together, we realized we're back, but we're not really back. And it doesn't feel the same. And it still doesn't feel the same. And I'm unsure exactly when it's going to feel the same. And that's been hard. And that's been difficult. But church, those of you that are watching and those that are here, I want you to know that whenever the church, whenever Christians are faced with difficult times, when there's tremendous disruption and our lives are turned upside down, whenever that happens, the church always has two potential responses that she can make. One of those responses is that we can choose to start going farther away from God. That we can start drifting away, kind of like a boat that's not tied to the shore, and we can go away from the Lord. And I just want to acknowledge that for some of us, maybe in this room, or some of us who are watching online, that might have been your response this year to all of the difficulties that we've struggled with, that maybe you're actually a little farther away from God than where you were at the beginning of this year. Maybe your marriage is a little bit worse than it was at the beginning of 2020. Maybe your emotional health is a little bit worse than it was at the beginning of this year. Maybe your sense of being connected to God and connected to the church is not the way it was at the beginning of this year. I've gotten a lot of calls this year about people who are struggling in their marriage, who are struggling as parents, people who are struggling with addiction, people who are struggling with loneliness, people who are not connected or engaged spiritually, people who are grumbling and complaining about things. I've fielded a lot of calls of people who their response has been drifting away from God. And I want you to think about your life right now. Are you closer to God now than you were in January of 2020? And if you're not, if your response has been to drift away from God, let me just say to all of us right now, to those that are watching, God has not given up on you. And we haven't either. And that there still is time to find renewal and to find restoration and turn back to God. And I hope that we will do that. That this is a time of renewal. As we head into a new year, this is a time of renewal. This is a time to say, I haven't responded so well, and I want to start responding well to the struggles that I've been dealing with. I want to turn back to Him. But there's a second response. That sometimes when the church deals with struggle and difficulty and disruption, sometimes the church drifts away from God. But sometimes the church draws deeper to God. That when the heat rises, we start praying more. When the stress gets greater, we start reading Scripture more. And when the difficulties come our way, we dig into our faith more. In church, there are some of us, I've seen it, there's some of us that's been our response. That we responded by leaning in to God rather than going away from Him. That doesn't mean that the year hadn't been perfect for those of us that have responded that way, but you can look back and you can see that now you're actually closer to God than where you were at the beginning of the year. Your marriage, your relationship, your friendships, they're better than the way they were, because now they're not superficial, they're real, they're authentic. Your walk with God is closer because you've been through some valleys. You've stood in the broken pieces. And it's been hard, but you've leaned in and you've grown. You stepped up and you've grown. I've seen it. I've seen it within you, within so many of you. And I want to celebrate that. That yes, it's been a hard year. It's been the hardest preaching year of my life. But yet in all of that, God has grown many of us. And He's used us to be a healing presence. I made a list of all of the ways in which I've seen us as a church growing and being a healing presence. And it's not an exhaustive list, but let me share it with you now. I think about our AV people and our communications team and how they helped us and stepped up to move our worship online and to help us stay connected digitally. Aren't we thankful for them? They've been a healing presence to us. I think about our singers who came week after week after week and would come into this empty auditorium and would sing their hearts out to help us worship while we were worshiping on Facebook Live. They were a healing presence to us. I think about our food pantry volunteers who closed for 1 week when the pandemic hit. And then Loopy told me, we're not closing another week because we got to feed the people. They were a healing presence. I think about John Scott and so many others who, along with him, started sending out cards, started texting and calling and making porch visits to just try to make sure that we were encouraged, that we were staying together. They were a healing presence to us. I think about those that have lost loved ones and how many in our church have rallied around those that are grieving. I was talking with one brother whose spouse was getting ready to die. I said, How you holding up? And he said, well, a couple of you from church just dropped off a pie for me. Said, I'm doing okay right now. But that kind of thing happened a whole lot this year as we tried to be a healing presence to one another. I think about the Obachowskis who took in a foster child, but more than that, took in a foster family. And many like them who reached out to the vulnerable around us during this difficult season. They were a healing presence. I think about those who worked in our learning pod to assist neighborhood children with online school. I think about all the meal trains that have been filled up, all the cookies that were dropped off, all the prayer circles that were gathered, all the shawls that were knitted, all the times in which we as a church tried to feed or serve other people. All of that was a healing presence. I think about our day of healing, as I mentioned, that day where we did so many different projects to try to bring physical healing and spiritual healing and emotional healing and racial healing and even creation healing. That was a healing presence. I think about spouses who had to endure worshiping alone while their spouses were up at the building helping put on worship services. I think about giving, the giving of our church. Giving of our church. Can I say it again? The giving of our church. That in a financially difficult time, our church just kept giving and kept sharing and kept helping, both for the construction and what's been going on, but also just for those in need and the poor in our neighborhood. That was a healing presence. I think about all of these things. There's more that could be said, but as I think about them, I think, wow, we stood in the broken pieces, and we were in the valley in 2020, and yet so many of you responded by turning to God, and God used you to be a healing presence. So when the pandemic hit, the week after Matthew preached, I preached from Luke chapter 11. You probably remember that sermon, I'll go ahead and remind you of it. It's a story of where Jesus cast out demons. And the Pharisees immediately start to attack him by saying, you're casting out demons because you're of Beelzebub. And Jesus responds to that accusation, first of all, with logic, and saying, that doesn't make any sense. How can a kingdom divided even stand? There's no way that that would happen. But then he tells a story, a parable. And he says, when a strong man is in his house, his possessions are safe. But when someone who is stronger overpowers that man, that's when his possessions can be taken. And the point that Jesus was saying is that the only reason why I can cast out an evil spirit is that I'm stronger than the one who's over evil spirits. I don't cast them out because I'm Satan. I cast them out because I'm over Satan. I'm stronger than Satan. That's how I do it. And the point that I made in that sermon is that Jesus is stronger. And whatever issue that you have in your life, you're struggling in your marriage, you're struggling with an addiction, you're struggling with a relationship, Jesus is stronger. And I said in that sermon that this virus Jesus is stronger than this virus. And I talked about that in times of pandemic in the past, those are moments not where the church struggles. Those are moments where the church shines. And I told us as a church that this was our moment. This was our moment to shine because we believe Jesus is stronger. As I think back over 2020, I could talk about the headaches and I could talk about the hard times and the valleys. But what I choose to do is look back over 2020 and remember all the moments where you all shined. Where you all shined. I'm reminded of a couple weeks ago when Lou Ann Webb passed away. Her funeral was in this auditorium, and I came to the funeral. And John Jewell gave a eulogy for Lou Ann Webb. John and Samantha Jewell have been some of our missionaries in Malawi. And John said this about Lou Ann Webb. John said that she was the one person who would tell him that she was proud of him and that Jesus was proud of him. And he said, I don't have anybody else in my life who says that to me. And she was that person who told me that she was proud of me and that Jesus was proud of him. And so as I close my sermon, what I want to say to our church through a long, difficult year of 2020, what I want to say is I'm proud of you. And Jesus is proud of you. Let's pray. Lord, often this year we have stood in the broken pieces in the valley. And yet, Lord, we've tried, not perfectly, but we've tried to turn our faces to you, to lift up our hands and to say, heal us, Lord, and we will be healed. Save us and we will be saved, for you are the one that I praise. And Lord, I'm thankful for this body of believers who through difficulty and strife have tried in various ways to try to be a healing presence, try to be faithful, to try to allow you to grow us through all of this. And I'm proud of them, and I know you are proud too. And so, Lord, as we endeavor to enter a new year, encourage us, strengthen us, and give us hope, because we know that you walk ahead of us and that you are our healer. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. And we're going to sing a song of invitation, and let me just say again that if you haven't responded well to 2020, let's respond well now. I said at the very beginning of my sermon that this might be the most important year of your life. The reason why I said that is because life is not defined by hardship. Life is defined by how we respond to hardship. Maybe you haven't responded well this year. We'll start responding well today. And maybe you need to go to sscofc.org/prayer and type out a long prayer request and say, pray for me because I need renewal. Maybe you need to come up to the front to one of our elders and to ask for prayer, to share, to confess some sin and say, I need to respond better to the hardships that I've dealt with. Maybe you're ready to be baptized into Christ. If there's any way that we can help you to respond, to prepare yourself for next year, please come now as together we stand and sing.